You're listening to Kathy Is In with Kathy DeBono.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Transformation Talk Radio. I am Kathy DeBono, your host. Thank you for joining us for our first installment of Kathy Is In. No, I'm not a doctor, but I am in. And I am a psychotherapist. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in the state of California. And I'm here today with my friend and co-host for the day, Lucia Gerbino. Lucia, say hi to the good people. I want to give a shout out to any WYP viewers who have joined us here today for the spin-off of WYP, which stands for What's Your Problem? What's Your Problem was an online show that I had. It was an advice show. Folks sent me letters and gave me calls from all around the world looking for advice. We had some fun on that show, didn't we, Lush?
We had a lot of fun on that show.
We had a lot of... Here, come back into your mic a little, Lush. There you go. Try that.
How's that sound?
I don't know. I don't hear you.
As I can get.
Wow, look at that. How's that? Why don't I put up the right mic?
That might have been a problem.
So we are here today for the first installment of Kathy Is In, folks, and here's the nature of the show. I and my guest here, Lucia, are here for your service. We want to take your calls. We want to answer your questions. We are here to answer your calls on life, relationships, love, careers. There's no topic off limits.
Oh, that was okay. No topic off limits.
No topic off limits. I opened that door.
You did.
The phone number is 818-602-4929. And to just get started today, because I know maybe a lot of you don't know who we are, maybe we should tell them what's your problem was, Lush. What do you think?
Yeah, why don't you explain that?
Well, we did a little show online, a video show called What's Your Problem, and folks wrote in letters, and they asked their questions, and then Lucia and I would produce a little video for the web. And it was pretty popular. And
it was really fun and really cool. And I still enjoy looking at them.
Yeah, they were fun.
They were fun.
We had some fun guests, with comedians, musicians, actors. And I did that show for a while, but then I just couldn't afford to continue to do so because we were doing it just for free and just for fun. But it got really popular, and we had a lot of people who wanted it to continue. And thus, Kathy Is In, this show was born.
It has evolved.
It has evolved because now we can be here once a week, and we can take people's calls live. And hopefully we'll know what we're doing. We don't have time to edit out the stuff where we don't know what we're doing.
You know, even when we don't know what we're doing, it's fun.
So the phone number here at LA Talk Radio and Transformation Talk Radio is 818-602-4929. Give us your calls. We're here to answer your questions. But Lucia and I were talking in the car on the way over here. I have a new website as well. It's called KathyIsIn.com. And it's also to serve the purpose of being there to talk to people and answer their questions and maybe provide some therapy, some counseling, some life coaching via the internet. You know, now that we have the internet, we're not tied at all anymore to just a local office sitting here in LA waiting for clients to come in, and we can reach people far and wide. So KathyIsIn.com is where you can go to do that. And on there, I've gotten a lot of questions about not only am I a licensed psychotherapist, but I explain something on there about energetic intuition.
Why don't you explain it again now?
Well, first, intuition. Let's just talk about intuition. I mean, I've seen Lucia have pretty strong intuition. She can walk into a room and decide by someone's smell if she's going to talk to them.
I don't know if it's their smell. I think everybody has intuition. Some people just have it more strongly than others. I mean, you know, and some people choose to listen to it more than others.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had this talk with Sheena last week, or maybe a week or two ago, about the difference between intuition and psychic ability. And some people sort of straddle that line. And where do you draw that line?
I don't think there's a line. I think it's a matter of degrees. I don't know that I would consider it a hard line or a difference. I really just think it's a sense and it's a matter of just degrees.
Yeah. The more people I meet with, we'll say, quote, psychic abilities, or the more people I meet with strong intuition, the more that line becomes blurry for me, and I don't really know the difference anymore. I know that there's times that I find I'll see or feel or know something about a person that I just think is evident in the room to everyone, and I'll find out later that not everyone was...
I've been in the room with you, and you do that.
Yeah. But to me, I've never thought of it as, quote, psychic or something out of the ordinary. To me, it just sort of felt like a honed-in feeling or a honed-in knowing of something that you see in someone's eyes or that you feel in the vibration of energy around them. And thus the phrase energetic intuitive was born out of conversations with friends and people that I've been around and work that I've done with clients. There becomes a level of communication that is unspoken or that is in the meta communication between two people. And I think that all falls in the realm of intuition. And I like to describe it as your energy field is carrying the imprints of your life around you. And sometimes we can pick up an image or a thought or a feeling that gives us information about the person we're talking to that may be unspoken or completely oblivious to anyone else in the room.
I also think people may read that energy in different ways. Does that make sense?
Tell me more.
I think that you see, it's almost like you just have a different pair of glasses on. We can walk into a room and you can see different colors in a person. You're picking up on something. Like I might be looking and feeling their level of aggression or their how much attention they're paying, sort of more substantial, this worldly sort of stuff. And you sort of look at, I don't know, some sort of emotional energy that they carry with them. I don't tune into that so much.
Yeah, no, you don't.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
No, keep it to yourself.
You pick up other things about a person.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say. I pick up sort of more like real worldly, substantial things about people. You know, how they position themselves in a room. You know, those kind of things I pick up on. You're like all touchy feely, emotional about it all.
Well, like if we think of us as being beings made of three parts, you know, mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. I think I do have a little more recognition when it comes to someone's, we'll say soul experience or emotional experience, which to me is one and the same thing.
Okay, wait a minute. I've heard you say this before. I want you to explain. So you think someone's emotional life is their soul life?
I do. Okay. I think our emotional life, the way we experience it in our human form, is a manifestation of the state our soul is in.
Okay, so that's the part of you that has feelings and emotions. That is the part of you that is your what we call your soul, what you're calling your that.
I do. Okay. I believe that's part of your emotional body. Right. Is your soul, your spirit. I mean, there's lots of verbiage we can use.
Right. And that's why I wanted you to explain so we all know what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And I know that I had to get really good, too, at recognizing when it was appropriate to discuss those things.
You really did have to learn some lessons there, Kathy DeBono. Inappropriate party of one.
I know. It's been a long, strange haul trying to figure myself out. I'm like, what is it that I do in the world?
Yeah, there have been many times when Kathy will sort of, you know, read someone's emotional state or emotional baggage in, you know, and that's not always welcome. A person is not always accustomed to other people being able to see their scars on the outside because most of us practice, you know, hiding our weaknesses, hiding our scars, you know, putting a front to the world that does include that. And here comes Kathy.
And you know,
Kathy can't find her car keys, but she can find the spot of your most inner, deepest pain. Can't find her left shoe.
This is the truth, and this doesn't make my life very easy sometimes.
It doesn't make my life very easy either.
It's true. I mean, there was one time and I was like, so when, and this is when I was much younger, of course I grew a little bit more appropriate boundaries than this, but I was in a room with someone talking with them and I just didn't realize that not everyone else noticed this. It was like a pink elephant in the room to me. And I was like, so who was it that sexually abused you when you were a child? How inappropriate is that?
Did you just meet this person too?
I won't say I can sometimes because this is when I was much younger. I think I was even a teenager at this time. And it took me a while to understand where that line was of what people realized they were projecting into a room and what they didn't realize.
Well, also with your life experience and education, I would imagine you would have a different context to put that in because you see something in someone and now you have all this education that says that is how people act or the energy they carry when they have had some sort of trauma.
Yeah. I mean, it's been such an interesting journey to go in there and then study psychology. And like you were saying, most of us find a way to kind of hide those things, to kind of protect those things when we're in a room or out in public. And I find it's interesting. I'm always trying to observe and understand what it is that I experience every day. And I find the thicker of a skin you put over something to protect it from the folks around you, the easier I see what's going on or the easier I will get clued into or feel what's going on for you and I get curious about it.
Well, you're sensitive to, you can also see those defense mechanisms. You can see as defense mechanisms as opposed to, you know, just, so I don't pay attention.
That's right.
So
that's right. And I like to call them, I've been thinking of them lately as doors. They're sort of doorways into another layer of ourselves, another layer of ourselves. We present a doorway to the world and we're going to choose who we allow to walk through that door and who we don't. And I've, over time, developed a way of recognizing the door you're presenting to the world, the door that you're standing behind.
And I'm glad that you've realized it's a door and not just an open window for you to jump through. No, there's actually something there that you know.
Very funny. Yeah. Yes, it's true. So let's see if you want to call and talk about any of your doors that you have going on or anything that you've got under the surface. Lucia and I are here to give you our two cents for whatever it's worth. It's 818-602-4929. And we are going to take a break right now. I want to play a song by someone named Deborah Davis. It's called Supernatural High. It feels a little appropriate right now. Welcome back to Kathy is In on LATalkRadio.com and TransformationTalkRadio.com. The call-in number is 818-602-4929. Call in and feel free to join the conversation. I am here today with my dear friend, Lucia Gerbino. And, you know, Lucia, I don't think I told them who you were.
Whoa.
I think we just kind of threw you in there.
You did.
Told them you got a cool name like Lucia. and never told them who you were. Lucia's got an amazing company online called LuckyDogLeather.com. And it was so much fun for me to be around when you came up with the idea for Lucky Dog Leather.
Well, interestingly, it started about the time we started doing WIP.
That's right.
A lot of the WIP initial fans were my initial customers back when I was making one bracelet at a time. I make leather accessories, bracelets, and belts. You know, we have some necklaces, too. But back in the day when we were doing WIP, those guys were my first customers. And,
they were.
You know, a lot of them are still around. You know, a lot of them still buy from me and send me emails.
Yeah.
And I mean, visit me on Facebook.
I wouldn't have had any belts to hold my pants
that's
up.
That's true. That's true.
You couldn't afford a goddamn thing.
You'd have to rely on elastic.
And then I got my dog, Comet.
The Comet.
Right around the same time WIP. Actually, it was about a year or two before WIP started, wasn't it? That Comet came into our lives.
Yeah, she was probably about a year old.
And she's a scruffy little crazy-looking dog that most people couldn't even really tell if she was a coyote or a dog or what she was. And I had Lucia make her a pink collar. Now, I'm not into the whole pink and blue and color thing.
Nobody could tell Comet was a girl or even...
A dog.
A dog. I don't know what she's this. I remember the first time I saw Comet, I just was like, that's the one you picked. And she was just straight out the pound, and she was just dirty and scruffy, had given birth to a litter of puppies, was sick, so she was like snotty faced and scraggly with the long nipples from the puppies. And I was like, really, Kathy?
And I saw her in this cage full of other dogs that just had all this confidence, and they were barking and running around, and I saw Comet. And she was in the middle of the cage looking completely confused and, like, running around with them and going, is this what we're supposed to do? Bark, bark.
Now, people, I want you to know that this is really all you need to know about Kathy DeBono.
Oh, no.
No, she'll walk into a room and she'll find the Comet in the room. And she'll be like, look at that one. That one needs help. Look at the broken one in the middle.
What is wrong with me? You know, this caused me problems for most of my life.
I know. Your mom told me you were known for bringing home strays, people included. And you always bring hope in the broken birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, once I realized that dating them was a bad idea, my life got a whole lot easier.
Yes, as did mine, once you realized that.
Yeah. I was like, I can love them out of it. I can fix them. It doesn't work that way, people. It really doesn't. People have to heal themselves and love themselves. However, I do believe we have to offer each other the safe place and the compassion and the love and the space to do that. But it took me a while to figure out that it wasn't the injection of my love and compassion that could actually do the trick. We all have to actually do it ourselves.
And I don't know that within a love relationship, that's the person that should be that healing force. Like if I need to heal stuff in my life, I don't know that it's my girlfriend that is the person I should be relying on for that. I kind of feel, my personal opinion is, that puts pressure on a relationship and puts them in a position that they shouldn't be in. They're not my shrink.
Like, but don't you think if you're in an intimate partnership that way, that part of it is creating that sort of
interdependence? Yeah, part of it, but that's not who I should be relying on for it. Like,
and then
my
that's
guide.
The difference between interdependence and codependence, right?
I don't know. You went to school.
Tell me, Lucy.
You
tell
have the
me
words.
More.
I don't know.
Well, codependence, we've heard a lot about this word. There's books out there about it and how it's become such a bad thing to be codependent. And really, I don't like to think of anything as bad. And we start judging ourselves. We're never going to heal. But if we're codependent, it means that we really are enmeshed with someone else and we sort of find it hard to exist on our own. And then that can become dysfunctional. But I think the aim, the goal, is not complete solidarity. It's interdependence. Interdependence is very healthy. Interdependence is a functional partnership, a family, a friendship, a team. You are interdependent on one another, and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. My point was just that. To get into a relationship, and as you were saying, you were the one that thought you could heal a person you were with. What I'm saying is...
I was their savior. Yeah. I was going to fix them all.
Yeah.
Not true.
No.
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Well, tell me more. I cut you off. Did you hear that bass?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's awesome. I like it.
Well, what I was saying is I don't think that a person that I'm involved with, that dynamic feels very destructive to me, to a relationship, to put that person in, like, you save me. Hey, save me.
Oh, sure.
That just seems just destructive on both parts.
Well, absolutely. It is. It's a definite, it's like tying a weight to your ankle. You might as well, A, sink the relationship.
Well, they can't ever do it, so they will always fail.
They will always fail.
And you will resent them, and then they will resent you for not. It just, the whole thing.
Right.
Just,
so where's that line? Where do you draw that line? Like, what can you expect from your partner?
Well, support, but obviously support, intimacy,
Yeah.
Understanding, compassion.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I think within the intimacy of a relationship where you share your flaws and your most weakest parts with each other, I think what we owe each other is love, compassion, and a non-judgmental environment in order to help each other grow and heal those parts of ourselves.
Sure, but it's your individual responsibility to take up your issues and figure out how to overcome them.
Absolutely.
Not put that on the person that you're being intimate with. Relationships are hard enough and there's enough stress to make your relationship responsible for healing your wounds, I think is a recipe for disaster. I think it's your responsibility to get up and figure out how to do that.
It is.
As an individual.
It is.
And your relationship's only part of it. But then you go, you know, whether it be best friends, a support group, an individual therapy, talk therapy, call Kathy.
Or you can call me and the Lucy,
the Lucy
right now at 818-602-4929 at latalkradio.com. We are also on transformationtalkradio.com. And we are talking about relationships right now, as it seems. Is anyone out there having a relationship where they are finding it hard to find where that line is between support with their partner and codependence with their partner? If you have the courage to call in and talk about it, we would love to talk to you about it. And you can do it anonymously, too, folks. We're not looking for anybody to bare their soul in a way that makes them feel unsafe. So give us a call. It's 818-602-4929. And we talked a little bit earlier about people's defenses and how I started to see them lately as doors to their different issues, and how if someone is presenting a particular front door and you sort of can pick up on it intuitively what that front door normally protects behind it.
Well, you, like you said before, the thicker that door, the thicker the armor, whatever's behind it clearly.
The thicker the door, yeah, the thicker the door, the more of an idea of what it's trying to guard you can have. And then what does a person do with that? What does a person do when they're recognizing a door, let's say, in their relationship, and they keep bumping into it? How do you get inside that door without making someone feel exposed or judged or like they're in a dangerous place?
Well, within a relationship, a certain amount of intimacy is expected. So, I mean, I think that's approach with caution, I would say.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think we should always approach with compassion. It's almost really simple.
Oh, right. Compassion.
Yeah.
That's different.
Well, and caution for sure.
Compassion.
Because you want to let that person know that you respect that fragile place inside them. And we all have those places.
And like I was saying before, sometimes I think, you know, if a person needs to talk to someone who's not their intimate partner, that's perfectly respectable. If they are saying that to you, respect it.
Yeah.
Because some things, you know, maybe you don't want to share with your partner.
Yeah.
Maybe not first. Maybe you want to talk through the issue with a professional first and then, you know, talk to your partner about it.
And those are the things we find, what, freaky about ourselves.
Have attached, like, a shame or, you know, embarrassment or, you know. I mean, if it's really, like, behind some defense mechanisms.
It always breaks my heart when I realize something that someone, or even myself, or my friends or my family are carrying around with them that deserves nothing but love and compassion and some strength to be thrown at it. And what we do is we shame ourselves, judge ourselves, try to put those things in a box, try to pretend they don't exist.
Okay, let me ask you this then. A lot of times people do not want to deal with those things. They have built these doors and walls, you know, skillfully over a lifetime, and they do not want to talk about them. They do not think they affect their life or their relationships. And they get kind of mad.
Yeah.
When you knock on that door, they feel imposed upon. What do you do then?
They get pissed off that you even noticed there was a door, don't they?
They do.
Well, what do you do then?
What do you do?
What you can do is pretty much absolutely nothing.
I ignore it. That's what I do. I go into mutual denial. I will agree with you. I will agree with you that there is no door. We will agree.
And then what happens?
We just all get along so much better.
On about the first 2 inches of surface of your life.
Exactly.
And no one has any true intimacy.
That's fine.
I really encourage people to...
How are we even friends?
I like your shirt.
Nice. Good. I found your shoe, Kathy.
You want to encourage people to have intimacy with themselves, because if you don't have an intimacy with yourself, if you can't accept yourself, you certainly...
So what do? You see you have a friend or your girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband, and you see this door. Now, not you, because
my business is to break down the door.
That's your business. But regular folks in life, you're like, yeah, you know, I see those doors. I see those defenses.
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, you can gently tap on the door and say,
you know, my first question that comes to mind when you ask that question is, what's your motivation, right? I mean, what is our motivation when we see a door?
I'm going to assume that all of the, your listeners and friends, their motivation is nothing but altruistic, loving, kind.
Okay. All right. So
I
we'll
mean, really just coming from a place of wanting to know someone, wanting to heal a person, wanting to be intimate with a person.
Right.
Friendship
wanting,
or whatever.
Wanting to jump in and support and give them love.
Right.
Well, you know, a very broad stroke way to approach that, I think, at first is to get curious about what could they be feeling behind that door that you're noticing. What could that experience be like for them? Start very slowly and enter it with a compassionate curiosity.
Because you know that nothing makes people more defensive than aggression.
Nothing.
I mean, you
and
know.
Nothing makes people more aggressive than when you try to point out something that you think you know, even if you're right.
So, I mean, so ask questions.
Ask questions, get curious about their, you know, what's going on with them, and let them know that you're interested. Let them know that you are there for them and that you want to talk about it with them and that they don't have to be alone in whatever it is that's going on. And you just got to kind of start there and allow people to give you, allow people to unlock that door and invite you in.
Right. So if somebody becomes really defensive, maybe back off a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And
send them to Kathy.
And you know what? Let them know when you see that defensiveness. It really can trigger a freaking fight like nobody's business. I know in my relationships it does. When I get defensive or my partner, we got to get good at recognizing when someone's become defensive, it's probably because you just scared them a little bit or something.
Yeah, you called
them
on something
them
that, yeah, well, sure, if you're going to ring the doorbell on that door, they don't even want you to see.
Right.
They're going to, that's,
right.
you know.
And give them some leeway for that. Allow for that to happen. Know that when you're approaching a situation like that, that they may get defensive because now you know you're on track with something.
So,
and they're feeling a little bit scared about that, and they're going to try and defend. And just be compassionate about that, too. Give them some space.
Mm-hmm. What kind of... I was going to say, when do you know it's time to actually, either for yourself or somebody else, recommend professional help?
I think when something's become dysfunctional. I think if the thing, let's say you're talking about approaching someone's, quote, door, that we're using that terminology, and they're in an intimate relationship with you, and that door is simply keeping them from being as intimate as you require to be happy.
Yeah.
Now it's causing a dysfunction in your relationship. Let's say they're just a coworker, and it's nothing more than... none of your business, then you need to back off,
okay,
right?
Then.
I mean, unless it's creating something dysfunctional for you and it's your business to encourage them to do this, then I would say we have to leave it alone.
And what if you're recognizing these doors in yourself? What if you have enough self-awareness to say, I recognize that I have some scars and I recognize that I've built defenses around them and that they're keeping me from whatever it is, intimate relationships, success, whatever it is.
Step number one, apply some compassion to yourself. We all build doors. These are our psychological defenses. We need them to survive. They are a healthy part of our psyche. We need them. We do not want to get rid of them. If we got rid of all of our psychological defenses, we would be a crazy hallucinating mess out in the streets.
That's so true.
I mean, we need them.
That's true.
The goal is to develop them in a functional, healthy, balanced way. And we always want to keep our eye on what we're doing in a way where our defenses has created some dysfunction or some imbalance. And if like you're saying, we become aware of something, we want to take a good look at that and see how is it binding up our life in a way that we'd like to see change. Mm. Is it keeping me from intimacy? Is it keeping me from taking more chances or applying for that job I want or any number of things? And we want to give ourselves a little compassion about it. And then you can come straight on over to kathyisin.com and check out my services page and see if there's a way for me that I can step in and help you or if I can help direct you to something maybe local or a book to read. There's always great ways that we can start opening those doors ourselves where we don't even need a third party.
Mm.
So there's ways of looking into that. And you are bringing to mind a song by Janet Robin that I want to play right now called Beautiful Freak.
Mm.
And I want us to apply this to all of our own beautiful freakiness out there right now.
Catch me quick before I hit. I was trying to dance with you. Didn't think it was. as I am. Would you touch me again with all of my tainted past? We've only got time to last. I'm a beautiful thing in a beautiful world. Whenever I sleep in the shadow.
Beautiful Freak by our good friend Janet Robin, who I think is a genius musician, guitar player. Do you remember that day she was in my living room playing the guitar at like warp speeds?
Yeah, she was doing some Jimi Hendrix.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't even.
She is extremely talented.
Extremely talented. Miss Janet Robin. So what were we talking about during the, I wanted to say, I saw a couple of callers trying to get through during the song. I'm sorry we couldn't answer, but if you want to try and come back in, it's 818-602-4929. I'm Kathy DeBono. I'm here with Lucia Gerbino of LuckyDogLeather.com, and we are taking your calls on whatever it is you want to talk about. We were just talking about therapy.
And we're talking about therapy. We were talking about people's boundaries and their doors and when it's time to deal with those things. And Kathy, what I wanted to ask you, I know you've been working on a new form of therapy called EMDR, and I honestly do not understand what that is or what the difference is between that and your typical talk therapy that people might go to. So why don't you explain that to me and thus the listeners?
Sure. I will do my best. I started the training on it this weekend, and I was so re-energized by the end of the day. It was so exciting to be back in that environment. I was in a room full of therapists, psychotherapists, psychologists, and psychiatrists, and the empathy in the room was overwhelming. People were crying. I would have run screaming. People were crying and talking and sharing, and it was amazing. EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing, and it's been around for about 20 years. The success rate for trauma patients with EMDR is amazingly off the charts. You can go look it up and read some studies about that. But this is sort of how it works. Put your hand down, Lucia.
I have a question.
This is the broad stroke of how EMDR works. If you think of your brain, we've got two hemispheres, the left and the right. We store the energy and the memories of our most intense experiences in our limbic system, which is where our implicit memories are. That's not where the normal functioning brain or the mind works every day, the basic day-to-day decisions. That's your implicit memory. It's the place where you're going to dream from. It's what you feel in your body. It has a lot to do with, it works very closely with somatic therapy and the energy we store in our cells. And the idea is when we experience a trauma or an intense situation, we store that memory in our feeling brain and not our thinking brain. So we can have a similar experience, maybe even 10 years later, where there's no danger involved. Maybe someone used the same words that were used that day. Maybe someone looks like, let's say it was your dad and he traumatized you. Maybe someone looks like him and you can feel your heart racing. You can feel.
Oh, yeah. Now I know what that's like. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's coming from the imprint of that experience in your implicit brain. So it doesn't make sense anymore for us to go into.
It's like a muscle memory,
exactly.
I don't know what else to.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's stored in your body. And EMDR, works to, it uses talk therapy in combination with bilateral movement of your body or just bilateral sensation on your body. Maybe it's tapping on one hand or the other, or some folks are familiar with the first form of EMDR where you follow your fingers, you follow the therapist's fingers from right to left, and the eye movement connects the two hemispheres of your brain and reprocesses that memory so that you can have that memory and feel what you're feeling today.
Well, why didn't you explain this to me 3 months ago? And I've been trying to get you to, I've been trying to understand EMDR for, and now I understand. So the physical part of the therapy connects to the part of your brain where the memory is stored.
Right, right.
Otherwise, all the talking and talking and talking doesn't actually tap into that, doesn't actually open that door, doesn't actually get in there.
Right. Well, the talking does a wonderful thing where it brings to awareness the connection of this experience. So you start to understand why you have a panic attack in certain situations, or why, you know, the people who, you know, have brown hair and wear a hat piss you off. Like, you know, you start to understand certain things that don't make sense.
Well, what I didn't understand was how the tapping and the bilateral movement and all the eyes, I did not understand how that connected to the trauma or to the memory of the trauma.
Yes, yes. And it simply reprocesses the two hemispheres of your brain to connect that memory with the feeling brain of today instead of the incident back whenever.
That is fascinating.
So that you can reprocess it into a more balanced, you know, into a way where the feelings don't come up and just sort of inhibit you or create dysfunction. And you get to expel all of that energy that's stored in your body. It really is a testament to energy staying in our cells and how, what a real true thing that is.
It is really real and true. And I always wonder how people can be so adamant about, you know, the body and the mind and the soul all not being connected. How could they not be connected? Completely connected.
Because they have very thick doors in their brains that's telling them they're not. They are absolutely intimately connected.
Well, some, I believe that, you know, I have to say this carefully. I believe that certain emotional states and energies can manifest in your bodies to create certain health issues.
Sure.
So the disclaimer is I'm not trying to blame people for their own illnesses. So I'm not trying to do that.
Right.
But
right.
Your emotional state and your baggage, and that can absolutely have an effect. I mean, in the simplest form, you could just get an ulcer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, that energy, that
your posture can be bad.
I think an ulcer is a great example. It's a great example because this is something that people have come to witness over time as a physical manifestation of a feeling state, whether it's stress or anxiety or whatever it is. And if you do not process that energy and let it move through you and have its process so that it changes form, you can definitely and will, you know, manifest an ulcer. And, I believe the way you do, Lush. I believe it can come up in forms of cancer and all kinds of things. And like you say, that's not to say to blame someone for their own illnesses.
There could be a lot of reasons for illnesses. This is just one of them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So the phone number to call in, I'm sorry we missed your calls during the song. The number is 818-602-4929. Try to give us a call back if you want. This is Kathy DeBono. I am here with Lucia Gerbino. We are on Kathy Is In, first installment of our show today.
Very exciting.
Are you having fun, Lush?
I'm having fun. I'm actually having so much fun that I wish I could do this more often.
Why don't you?
I have a company to run. I have a real job. I have to do things. And
company schmumpany.
I have orders to fill. People expect that, you know, when they order a bracelet, they want that bracelet. I got to make sure I got leather in stock.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just thinking, the good news is about EMDR is you can practice it with clients anywhere. You can also do this online, you know, which was my concern.
Why do you do it online?
Because you can do eye movement desensitization in the video chat, or you can use bilateral movement with sound by doing it over the phone with a sound that alternates from ear to ear. We have a call coming in. I'm going to accept this call and see what they have to say. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi.
Oh, goodness.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think you should turn your, you're going to have to turn your radio down.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Let
me,
go.
Now?
You're ready to, okay, yes, now that's much better. How are you? Who's this?
Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you. Where are you calling from?
Okay. Oh, I'm actually calling from the Middle East.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us where you are. What's going on with you?
I just got here about a month ago. I'm doing some work here, and just was listening in. It's quite late here, so I'm a bit tired, but...
Do you have a question?
I just had a question. I've been listening to you guys talk and everything, and it's a hot topic. Yeah, my question is, do you think it's possible for someone to thrive in an environment where they can't truly be who they really are?
Hmm.
No.
Hard one, isn't it?
There's Lucia's short answer. I'm going to say no. I don't think you can really thrive. And my mind is thinking of thriving as your authentic self and living to your full potential in all ways, mind, body, and soul. If you are in an environment where you have to not allow that person to breathe and grow, then, you know, how can you?
It's like saying, do you think you can run if you can't run? Those two things are thriving and thriving. Can you thrive if you can't thrive?
Yeah. Or do you want to get more specific, Megan? Are you in this situation?
Because there might be ways to work around that a little bit and, you know, find...
Well, yes, I am, but it is only temporary for job reasons and everything like that. And, I mean, I do think, you know, there are many different facets to oneself, so... I do think it's possible to be okay, you know, as long as you know there is an end result in mind.
Yeah, I don't sense a lot of fear in your voice. I don't sense a lot of anxiety or concern that you're stuck in a situation.
Well,
forever.
I'm not anywhere that's unsafe, really.
Good.
It's just, I'm just a bit of, you know, keeping quiet about things.
Are you feeling a bit stifled? Is that, you feel like you can't really?
Uh-oh, did we lose you?
Pardon?
Oh, no, there you are.
Okay. No, I'm here. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. I thought we lost you for a moment. So you're in a temporary situation. How long are you going to be in this situation where you have to sort of keep a part of yourself under wraps?
Well, for 2 years, off and on. Actually, I emailed you about it.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can read your email.
Okay, I don't have it with me here, but I think I was putting two and two together and wondering if you were the same Megan that I'd heard from. So you're teaching kindergarten over there.
Yes, I am. I am. And it's a great opportunity. So, you know, you do what you have to do. You know, it's been a little hard, you know, to go from, you know, being out to then being in the closet. I feel a bit like I'm in school again. It's a little strange, to say the least.
Right. And you are in a situation over there where it has a lot to do with your physical safety in this case.
Yes, it does. In fact, it does. So that, you know, obviously there is a lot of, you know, keeping oneself under control, you know, not ever getting in a situation where you may say the wrong thing.
Right.
So there's not a lot of, you know, letting your hair down and, you know, being wild all the time, of course. So.
Do you have a support system there? Do you have friends or and or family where you can be yourself for parts of the day?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, okay. I don't have my family here, but I do have my very best friend is here. And so thank God for that.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
But you know, I am running into things with new colleagues. So it is sort of like, you know, don't quite know who to tell, who to trust. So mostly just kind of keeping it to myself and just sort of keeping everything surface and, you know, just skirting around things. So
I think in this
doing my best I can.
Yeah, I think in this case, Megan, since you're in a temporary situation, and I really do sense a sense of calm and a sense of a light at the end of the tunnel in your voice. You don't seem frightened, and you don't seem like you're settling to be doomed for the rest of your life. I feel like you're just really you're finding a way to be happy in a situation that's not ideal. I don't know that I'd have the same patience as you, but that's my own problem.
Right. Yes. Well, it is hard, but I mean, I've done this before. I was in Korea the last year. So it's not like, you know, it's the first time I've been abroad or anything. So there is a lot of just being patient and flexible and understanding and, you know, just lots of trying to observe things and figuring it out. But I'll be interested to hear what you guys have to say about all this.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Megan. We're going to chat a little bit more about
after we let you go. I'm going to listen. Okay. I'm going to listen because I'm about out of the Skype credits and everything.
Okay. All right, Megan. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'm listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was sweet. Well, you know, she sounded healthy.
She did, but I also have to wonder, there in the big picture, she keeps putting herself in a situation where she has to tamp herself down for long periods of time. And I understand that there's economic reasons and career-wise and this and that. Like I said, in the big picture, this is a pattern in her life.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know why that is. I mean, we'd have to ask her. It seems like her career takes her to places where she's willing to tolerate this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I had a sense by her voice that she wouldn't be willing to tolerate this as something that was a permanent situation in her life.
Sure, but there's something bothering her enough to have emailed you and called in about it. So
right.
I agree with you. Her voice sounded, she sounds clear.
Yeah.
She sounds like she's aware of everything she's doing and the choices she's made.
Yeah.
And it's not completely the happiest thing in the world. I mean, you know what I mean?
Maybe she just was looking for a little validation in feeling how it's stunting her a bit and wondering if that was normal and if that was okay.
I wouldn't have the patience. I don't have the, I don't live that, I can't not be myself.
No.
I don't think I would even be successful
but
at
she's,
it.
If she's got the patience and she's got the wherewithal and she's got the endurance to love her career enough and to have her best friend with her and to be able to balance the situation and say, I can be happy through this. I know that I'm not here forever and I know how to stay solid and within myself during this time. I think she's making the right choice to keep herself safe.
Okay. Now, so what would you suggest?
If she lived there forever, I would have different advice.
Right.
I would have very different advice because I think we would feel the smothering that she'd be experiencing in her voice.
Right.
I think we would feel that, but I think she's not internalizing that so much because she knows there's an out for her. And that's not the case for a lot of people. And if that's not the case for you, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to send you in some different directions for some different resources. All over the world, that's not the case for a lot of people where they're not going to, come home to a situation where they're going to be able to be fully themselves. So if you have a question, or you want some more information, go to kathyisin.com, CathyIsin.com. And, you can feel free to go there and ask me what you need to know, and I'll see if I can point you in the right direction. We are almost out of time. We have a couple of more minutes. If someone wants to give us a call, we have a few minutes. It's 818-602-4929. And Megan, thank you for calling in and sharing. Oh, here's a call. Let's see what we can do for you.
Turn your radio down.
Hello, welcome. You're on the air. Hello? Anyone there? No, they weren't.
I think you have to make sure that people know to turn their radio down first, otherwise they're hearing a delay if they're trying to hear you through the radio.
Yeah, that's true. You should either apply some headphones or turn the radio down
when you call in.
When you call in. Otherwise, we're going to be on a delay. We're going to hear the feedback just like we did.
Wait, look, about Megan and about other people who might be in a situation. Okay, say you're in a situation, whatever it is, cultural, family, whatever it is. Are there specific things a person can do within the safety of their room or with one other person to allow those parts of themselves to grow and be,
I think that's a loaded question. What you're getting at is reaching out.
Yeah, reaching out.
Reaching out from that box that they feel locked under and making contact with the outer world. And I think that is definitely step one. And again, we can help find ways for you to do that. KathyIsIn.com. for that kind of information. And right now, I just want to thank a couple of our sponsors here for Kathy is In. We want to thank Blagaspot.com, LuckyDogLeather.com, DiscoverSuite.com, and also WeHaveToStopNow.tv. You are listening to Kathy is In. I will be here every Tuesday at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Thank you for listening, and we are done.
They weren't very good.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey.
Boom.
You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
This is Camilla Chance, author of Wisdom Man by Banjo Clark, as told to Camilla Chance, published by Penguin, The Compassionate Life and Beliefs of a Remarkable Australian Aboriginal Elder. The message from Banjo Spirit and from me, the author, is There are no bad people in the world, only unhappy people. There are no bad people in the world, only unhappy people. That is our message to the world. Lots of love from Camilla Chance, author of Wisdom Man by Banjo Clark, as told to Camilla Chance, published by Penguin U.S. and Penguin Australia.
I'm Reverend Misa Hopkins, Spiritual Director of New Dream Foundation, which can be found at newdreamfoundation.com. And what I hold in my heart for all of us on this Memorial Day for 9/11 is the capacity to love our sorrow, our regrets, our guilt, resentments, and judgments, and all of those difficult feelings that we have about ourselves and others. For if we feel compassion for parts of ourselves that we deem to be unlovable, then all that we will know is love. And in that love, we'll create the world we long, that we really long for here on Earth.
Hi, my name is Dan Hanneman from www.spiritualrockstar.com. I'm so grateful to be a part of this time where so many people like myself are stepping into a new energy, facing our financial fears, facing all our fears about sharing our gifts in the world, those profound gifts that we're here to share, following our passions. That is what I've been doing over the last several years, and I'm so grateful that I have done so, that I've moved out of the boxes that I used to live in and moved into a sense of invincibility and serving with my gifts to help others to do the same, to share their gifts and their passions into the world and to make transformational changes for all by being brave, by being bold, by facing their fears and sharing their love, their gifts with the world. I'm so grateful to be part of this time. Thank you.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
Hi, this is Natalie. My website is healingisis.com. And from fear to love can be really easy if we let go of all of our judgment and understand that every day and every person that we meet is filled with lessons and that everybody teaches us something. And then we become grateful, and then we just can turn gratefulness into love. So everybody have just a very blessed day. Thank you and namaste.
Give you my joy song.
Give you my joy song.
Give you my love song.
Give you my love.